Thank you for joining us today on Glad Tidings. And you are listening to Pastor Sunita Phillips today. We hope you are encouraged by this message.
Wow, this one, your sound, you're like excited, you're full of energy, and that energizes me as well. Amen? Wow, even right now as we are gathered today, together here, all the way over in Vietnam, we have Pastor Linda, Pastor Roger Trevina, and the team ministering the Word of God at the same time. Hallelujah. So we are a missional church that is busy heading out, going places in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we've just been hearing so many good things happening. Sarawak team just returned. The Sarawak team, they just returned. And, you know, they have been going for a few years. And I was talking to Brother Kenneth, and he said this was probably the hardest, most challenging physically, this particular round. Because just the day before they went, they received news. The roads that they normally go on, those timber roads, is off-road driving and everything. All those roads were washed away because the monsoons came early. The monsoons came early, the roads were washed away. How to access? Does that mean the gospel has to stop? Oh, only three of you believe that. Does that mean the gospel has to stop? No! Because they said, never mind, if we can't go by road, we go by river, we go by boat. And it was a challenging time. One of them, I think, got thrown a little bit off on the boat, and they had to jump into the water, lift the boat up, because there were logs here, and it was grueling. But you know what? I asked Brother Kenneth, do you still want to go back again after all of that? His answer to the whole church in the first service was, of course! Hallelujah! Because when you go there, it is about discipling. It is about teaching them how to walk right with the Lord. It is about raising, not converts, but disciples for the Lord. And so it keeps going. We have been sending teams after teams out into all the different nations. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Michael asked me this question. Because we prayed in the month of March for six teams going out to different places. Six teams. And he asked me this question. Because the stage was full. He said, is this the largest number of teams? The largest number? And that got me thinking, hey, in March we prayed for six teams. In February, we prayed for another five teams. I said, wow, looks like a record. So I decided I would do homework. Do you want to see my homework? Should I pass up my homework? I passed up my homework today for all of you. I checked out first 2023. In the year 2023, from January to December, we sent out, how many teams? We sent out 18 teams. 18 trips were made in 2023 involving 77 participants. Come on, give God the glory. The work of God has been going forth in different places. And in this year, 2024, from January all the way to April 30th, we have a team leaving on April 30th to Nepal, all the way to April 30th. Do you know how many trips and how many people? I will tell you. In the span of 4 months, 13 trips and 54 participants. Hallelujah! It means that we're not even at the six-month line, we have exceeded more than 50%. Does that mean we can relax? Pastor Mike, again, I go for 8 months holiday? Cannot. Pastor Mike said cannot. Because the Bible says cannot. The Bible says we must go. Say with me, go. Oh, come on, you can do better. Say with me, go. Even if you're at home, say with me, go, all right? Because no matter where you are, we got to go. We won't stop till the whole world knows. We mustn't stop. And by all of y'all saying amen, all of y'all going, it means, you know what? Next year, oh my goodness, the entire church, Pastor Michael, shall go. Amen. Hallelujah. We're in a season in our church where we've been focusing on God's heart for the lost. God's heart for the lost is not just about going overseas only. You can have God's heart for the lost right here. I was very, very encouraged by Pastor Pat's testimony of Kopitiam evangelism. Marketplace, different market like this one. Marketplace evangelism. Go to the old newspaper man. Go there, go wherever. Because the gospel has to go forth. Amen. You know, every time you hear so many trips, do you want to know what happens in the trips? Do you know that we practice high levels of accountability in the missions committee? Every team leader and coordinator, when they return, they have to present a written report, what they did there, how it all went, and they also prepare a full statement of accounts, because we need to be accountable to the body of Christ. And so all this is vetted through. We thank you for the board, always approving, you know, praise the Lord. And I thought, hey, I need to share with all of you what has been taking place in these trips. Do y'all want to know? Oh, I don't think so, lah. You want to know or not? Yeah. I want to just quickly share with you. There's so many, but I have to just choose a few. Doesn't mean the ones I didn't choose, nothing is happening there, okay? God is moving everywhere. But let me first share what about India. India, Brother Michael Tang has been going for the last 27 years. And in the years that has been going on, we have realized that the persecution has been intensifying. It is so bad. While the doors technically remain open, the persecution for the pastors and the believers are intensifying. There are some videos which cannot be shown, cannot be seen, because the authorities even want to shame pastors by making the husband and wife, they strip them naked to walk in the middle of their village to shame them for following Christ. And then there are other videos which I saw. The authorities, it was a very scary looking man with a very big stick. You know, and he had that stick and he was walking around, because they were recording and they were making believers recant and renounce their faith. They made them, like how we repeat the sinner's prayer. They were forced to repeat after the authorities that they would renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. They made them say, Jesus Almasih, Jesus Christ. And it was so hard, and they even have to renounce and say, if any item or article talking about Jesus is found in my house, I will bear the consequence of my family's safety. And one video, all this was one after the other. It's not just one video, it's different people. And what was really heartbreaking was one man, when he was having difficulty to want to say those things, and he was faltering in his speech. Then someone who was recording him said this: don't you care about your daughter's safety? You better say this. And so it was not just about their own safety. It was about their family. It's about harm to their young children. And so when we have trips going to the missions field, to India, I was like, how is it going to be like? What is it going to look like with all the persecution? And to my wonderful surprise, Brother Michael comes back with a report to say, the pastors get stronger in their faith. They get more resilient. Are they afraid of running big rallies? They are not afraid. They continue to organize rallies. They continue to say, yes. And people who know what's happening to the Christian, they're very hungry, because they're wondering, there must be something good. There must be something good. We want to hear about this. And so they began to listen. And so there's one rally, there's more than 1,000 people that came. And out of that 1,700, if I'm not wrong, 100 adults gave their lives to the Lord, and 300 over children gave their lives to the Lord. Come on, give God the glory. God is moving in the midst of persecution. The harvest is plentiful. We need the workers to go forth. We need more workers. We need young workers. We need all age group workers. We can do much more. When we have more people, it means we can multiply the teams and go different places concurrently. Will you say yes? India is such a vast land. And I think India has even overtaken China in terms of their population. So there's many more people out there to win for the Lord. Amen. Please say yes for India. Then they went to Indonesia as well. Indonesia, God is doing amazing things. In the month of May will be the third trip for this year. They had a trip in January. They had a trip again in March. And they're getting ready again for a trip in May. Why? Because there's so many things happening. You're just back from Indonesia. So good to see you. In one of the trips, they went to a really small, tiny village in a very small, remote island. There were only two of them on that trip. So there's no photograph. You know, when there's only two people, I pray, you pray. That's it, nobody can take photo. Correct or not? It's like that. So, but I saw the evidence because they took a photo of someone else's photo on the phone. So that photo cannot use here. But I saw it. The miracle of an instant healing. This lady, she had like a growth in her stomach. In a small village, you don't have much access to big doctors. You don't have access to all these things. All you have access to is, who's that? Jesus. And so she came up for prayer. It's like as though the Apostle Peter singing, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus, they began to pray. And they saw something take place before their eyes. As they were praying for her, she started bleeding.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the Word.
She started bleeding out because you know what? That tumor, that whatever that was formed inside her, it was just coming out and there was a pool of blood. I'm not exaggerating. I saw the pool of blood that was there. And that day, she was delivered. She was set free. She was healed. Because Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when you go forth in the name of the Lord God to be His witnesses wherever you go. That same power is activated when you believe and you step out. Whether you're in Glad Tidings, PJ, or whether you go outside, it's the same power. Amen. In Sri Lanka as well, when we first went after the pandemic, we were coming to a nation in deep economic crisis. We could not travel as we usually used to because the whole nation also got no petrol. It was rationed. And so we gathered them as much as we could to just speak to the hearts of the pastors and encourage them. But this year, got petrol, hallelujah. This year, we made up for lost time, and I thank God for the team. They just were so resilient because we were traveling, we were moving. We just, you know, did all that we could do with every strength and breath that we had. We went across the land to see the churches. How are they doing? And some of our churches are in very, very hostile territory. Very hostile. It was so hostile that though we've been supporting them for a couple of years, we could not go in because we cannot show that there's foreigners coming in or else it will destroy the work of that pastor. But because this pastor, she has been slowly but surely impacting one life at a time. One life at a time. You see the impact one person can make? One life at a time. And because she's been so faithful, so regular, and she was even, you know, able to take whatever, that little support that we have, she scrimped and saved. Remember, she bought the chickens. She bought little baby chicks. Because she said, baby chicks are cheaper to buy than hen. So the baby chicks will grow up to become the hen. And the hen starts to lay eggs. Of course, must have rooster lah, huh? Must know biology, must have rooster. Okay? And so, with the eggs there, she was able to sell the eggs. She was able to generate income, not for her, to help the villagers, to help the people. And as she was helping, they realized she was so genuine. And when we went and visit her today, in this recent trip, we saw the fruit. We saw believers who now, we could go because now that more people are knowing about Jesus and they're also open, they're open for us to come. So we don't have a church there. We just were under the trees. Sister Gwen was sharing the word, just under the trees, just ministering to them, praying with them. And because it was so successful, they planted another one with another lady pastor, also in hostile ground. And it's taking root one life at a time. These are areas where even the AG Sri Lanka don't have many churches there because it's so hard ground. But God is doing something magnificent. In another place also, so hard ground. This pastor, he was given a piece of land by his nephew because he's got no house. The nephew said, "Uncle, use this land for your children and you." He's got 3 adult children besides a wife. He looked at the land. The land is very near the old church. The old church is a small little tin shack. And he said, "This is the house of the Lord." He gave 70% of that land space, 70 to 80%. It was built the church. And he's got just one big room. All 5 of them sleep in one big room, one small kitchen, and then there's an office. He sacrificed everything. And that church is multiplying and multiplying, even through the pandemic. And it's all hostile territory believers coming to know the Lord. Hallelujah. God is moving in so many marvelous ways. We go where there is no church. We go where there is no gospel. We don't build on just another man's work, but we build on the kingdom of God's foundation. Amen. In Philippines, we've been going there for many years, but in 1999, Brother Vincent Chiu was challenged. Go and seek out an unreached people group. He was led to the group called the Bilaan tribe. The Bilaan tribe at that time only had less than 10% were saved. They were under an unreached people group. Huh, Eddie, you've been there, huh? Yeah, only 10% back then. But now you go. They're no more under the group listing for unreached people group because you know what? By the grace of God, there's more than 80 to 90% already saved. Come on! There's more than 130 to 140 churches already in that area. So does that mean that Philippines people, Philippines team members can relax? Oh, Pastor Michael, very strict, huh? No, we don't stop because the gospel has to go forth. And so Vincent and his team, they're going into new areas. They're finding new islands because there are still more to be reached. Will you come along? Be part of what God is doing. Wow, there's no better purpose in life than to be in kingdom business. Amen. Seasons are changing so quickly in the nations. When it is still open, when the doors are still open, despite persecution, we can go forth because the harvest waits for us to come. The laborers are so few. But I look at the sea before me and I see the harvesters and the laborers are right here. Amen. And all of you online, I'm seeing you too. We need to go while the Lord gives us breath, while the Lord gives us open doors. Hallelujah. You know, in Myanmar, that's been a nation that has gone through so much. And in recent years, since 2021, there was yet another military coup. The junta came to power. There was a lot of bloodshed. Churches were even bombed. And so we're wondering, like, what's going on? How are our pastors? How are our workers? So I checked with Pastor Kun Sing. I say, "Pastor, can you give an update now? I read to you." He says this: "The suffering church continues to flourish despite persecution, poverty, and financial malaise. The past 18 months alone, just 18 months, dozens of new churches have been planted with a few thousand water baptisms recorded." Come on! Give God the glory. When man tries to shut things down, the Lord will continue to empower the church of Jesus Christ. There's revival happening. Bible school students are just being challenged immediately. Go plant churches. Go. Go forth. And we need to go and help them. We need to be part of the ministry that compels people to come into the house of the Lord. We go to the highways, the hedges. In Luke 14, 23, we go there. In the midst of all the shifting conditions, in the midst of the suffering that seems to be increasing, but God works through it all. Will you and I say that, God, I want to be part of this. I want to be a part of this. Why am I sharing this? The Lord gave me something in my heart. Just last Sunday when I was just worshiping the Lord, I asked God, God, what is it that you would like to leave with our people here today? I expected a Bible verse or something, but He gave me a vision. He gave me a vision of the gear. How many of you here, you know how to drive a manual car? Tell the truth. I know nowadays we all opt for the automatic, but we have some experience with learning to drive a manual car, right? And I saw this giant gear stick. It's giant because in my vision, I was like looking down from top down, and I was standing here. I know I'm short, don't have to tell me, okay? But this gear stick was towering above me. And then while I was next to the gear stick, it was pouring rain. Pouring rain. My hair was all smashed against my head. My clothes were soaked wet. It was pouring rain. And then I heard God saying, shift the gears now. Shift the gears. Shift the gears. And while He was saying that, I was like, okay, God. Okay, God. And I'm just like moving the gears from the stick. I'm just trying to move it along as the Lord was directing me. And then the vision stopped. Then I was just like, Lord, that's the strangest thing you've ever shown me. And it took me a couple of days to ponder and pray about it. And I felt the Lord was saying this, that we are entering a season where nationwide, worldwide, there's going to be a lot of major shifts happening. We are seeing this coming to pass already. Floods in Dubai, unheard of. The volcanic eruption in Indonesia. Do you know we texted our pastors in Indonesia? And we asked them, how are you doing? Because they're so close to the epicenter. They just said, semuanya aman. All at peace. Hanya abok sahaja di tempat pelayanan. There is only the volcanic ash that has come into our church. But we are busy building new foundation for our new church. Because the churches are growing there, new foundations have to be laid for a bigger place. Hallelujah. So in shifting times, there are big shifts happening. We are reading, every time you open the newspapers, you're reading about different things taking place in nations, different things taking place in our own nation. And dialing it down, even in our own families, things are shifting so quickly. Things are shifting so quickly, even in our own family needs, own household needs. And I asked God, why is it so big? It's because big shifts are needed in this season to navigate our future forward. Because big shifts are needed because we are living in the last days. And in the last days, we need to do everything that we can that none perish, that all can be saved. That's why we have this whole season, this whole month about catching God's heartbeat for the lost so that we can be mobilized. And so the verse in my heart that the Lord gave me is from 1 Chronicles 12:32. Just one verse today. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Just one verse about the men of Issachar that had something special. A little bit of a background. Men of Issachar were in the times of Israel. Saul, King Saul had just died in the battle. There was no king at that moment. But the men of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. They knew what was going on. And what was going on in the preceding verses is that Israel's tribes were coming to rally behind David, were coming to recognize that David is going to be the Lord's anointed king over Israel. So all the tribes were coming in their tens of thousands, coming, rallying. And the scripture says, mighty men of valor, mighty people who can fight in war, all were coming. And then we have the men of Issachar, the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. This is, whenever I read this verse, I always say, Lord, I want to be like that. I want to have that understanding, that divine knowledge where the Lord will teach me how to use the knowledge of the world to understand deep the signs of times. And you know what? We have an advantage over the sons of Issachar. Do you know what's the advantage? We are living in the age where the Holy Spirit is poured out. The Holy Spirit. That's why in Joel chapter 2, it says, in the last days, my spirit shall be poured out on all flesh. No matter how young or how old you are, the young will see visions, the old will dream dreams. Praise the Lord, I got a vision, so that means I'm young. Hallelujah. But it's for everybody. God is pouring out His Spirit so that you and I, we have access to the power, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, so that you and I can be like the sons of Issachar, to understand what's really going on and to know what you should do. What should you do in your life? What should you do in your family? How can you and your family be missional? Answer the call of God in different ways in your marketplaces. It is by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Number one, we need to learn how to understand the times. In an information overload age, we are getting information left, right, center. Your WhatsApp is always full. I'm sure by now already you've already got 10 new messages. What is the latest good place to eat? Of course, you get all the latest broadcast messages, you get videos, you get all kinds of things. And we are bombarded 24 hours. 24 hours news, cable news coverage as well. We know everything, that's knowledge, but we don't understand what it means. When we see nations warring against nations, when we see floods happening in Dubai, what does that mean? Zig Ziglar says, whenever I read the news, I make sure I have the Bible right next to me. Are you reading the news and asking God, what is going on? What's your perspective? Don't just read the news and think, let me look at my bank account now. Which book are you looking at when you read the news? Are you looking at your bank book or your Bible? I hope it's your Bible, amen? We need to understand how God wants us to move. What God is doing. All right? The sons of Issachar, they went beyond information. They wanted to recognize the spiritual confirmation, the spiritual component. When they were considering David, I believe they would have done their research. They would have found out that this is the David that was actually anointed by Samuel. This is the same David. With a little stone, he brought down a giant. This is the David that became the commander who slayed tens of thousands. This is the David who writes the most beautiful worship psalms unto the Lord. Then they said, this is what God is doing. They understood the times that this David, he is the right one that was called for this time. And we need to be part of this. They understood the stirrings and the movements of God. And after they understood, sometimes we can understand it. You can sit in a service and understanding is given. The next step is, know the right response. We can have understanding, but we can respond incorrectly. But the men of Issachar, they responded correctly. They felt, yes, King David is the one. What is the right response? Let's gather together and head over. Let's gather together. This is the one that we should be together with all the rest of the tribes of Israel. They knew the right response from God's perspective. In missions, the right response in hearing all these powerful stories. It has to be, I want to be a part of this. I want to be part of the going. I want to be part of the giving. I want to do all. I want to pray. I want to go. I want to give. That is the right response. And if you cannot travel overseas, it is still about souls where you are, where your marketplaces are, where your households are. You can walk down to your guardhouse. There's missions at your doorstep. You may have foreign workers who are working, you know, within your apartment units or within your office places. You can do your part. That is the right response. We all need to do our part. And we need everyone to join us. Join us, because the doors of missions may not be open very long. There's one country where we have to now use creative access. We're no longer allowed to go in. So what we're doing is, we're going into the diaspora. What's the diaspora? It means the country people who are now spread in the, they've gone into different parts of other countries which are open to us. So we go and find them. Find the diaspora of this nation and try and do a work among them, because I believe from among them, pastors will come up, leaders will come up who will say, I will go back to my homeland and win my people for the Lord. So that is the creative access, and we need, there's so much to be done, but we need the Church of Jesus Christ to say, I'm going to do the right response. I'm ready. And the third thing is, sometimes knowing the right response may still lead us to still sit down there and don't do anything. But now we need to participate. We need to participate in God's move. Participate means getting up. The sons of Issachar, they recognized David was the one. They recognized they needed a new king. They knew it was the right response to support David. But they could have just remained in their territory of Issachar. But they decided to participate. They left their villages. They left the comfort of their home to journey all the way to Hebron, to where David was going to be. They journeyed. They left their comfort. They decided, I'm going to stand alongside. They worked with people they never worked with. They walked with brothers they've never seen. But they decided, we want to participate. And when they came, these 200 chiefs, it says, when these chiefs came, they had command over all their brothers. It means that the entire tribe of Issachar were backing their chiefs 100%. You jump, I jump, you know? You go, you send the allegiance on our behalf, because, and you commit all the thousands and thousands of us. We are all here to stand with the new king. And right now, King Jesus, he's on the move. He's on the move because it's last days. He's on the move. He's gathering the tribes. He's gathering his people and saying, will you come? Will you respond? There is no age limit. Of course, if physically you cannot go overseas, then you go here. But there is no age limit in sharing the gospel. He's calling forth every single one. You are needed. You are desperately needed, so that no one is left out from knowing about the wonderful power, blessings, and love of Jesus. In understanding the shifting gears, we must understand how it works. Some of us, maybe we are very content driving in the third gear. The road is smooth. We don't go anywhere. Just drive in third gear. But then the Lord is saying, you need to go faster. But you know, if you press on the accelerator and you're still on third gear, the car makes a horrible noise because you're overstraining the engine. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's time to level up and shift gears, because it's time to go faster. It's time to move differently. If you've moved a certain way all your life, now is the season where the Lord is saying, it's time to move differently. And for some of us, maybe you have been high flyer, fifth gear all the way, you know, vroom, And maybe the Lord is just saying, I need you to change gear because we're going to make a turn right now. We're going to be changing some directions. We're going to be doing something different. Maybe you need to hear from the Lord. Maybe you're changing some focuses. How is the Lord speaking to you today? There are stormy times, whether it's in your personal life. And you know, when you're driving and it's raining, most of us will then slow down, right? You've got to change gears to slow down, to be a little bit more careful. And we need to be mindful of how God is moving us. Whether you're slowing down to help someone, whether you're picking up speed to get there faster, God has got a specific move that He wants for every single one of us. The stories from the field are just one of so many stories. But I hope you catch the heart that God is working quickly. He's working deeply. He's stirring things. When we came back from Sri Lanka for 3 years in a row, you know, the Bible school students, in the past, there used to be only about 30 to 40 graduates. The last few years, at first it was above 70. First it was above 70. And they said, oh, it's because people didn't get chance to graduate in COVID. Then the next year, 75. Oh, still the remnant from the COVID, now they are finally graduating. This year, it was 80, but above 80, 82 like that. And we're just like, what is going on? And there's so many more who want to come in, but they said they got no support. And so we're just like, wow, God is doing a stirring. And we need to be a part of this stirring. Because you know what? It's exciting when you get into the field and you start witnessing with your eyes the power of God. The power of God. There is a right response. In the Bible, there are different responses. Do you remember Moses? Moses, when he was called by God, he was a shepherd at that time. His response was, who? Mia? And he proceeded to give God five reasons or excuses. He proceeded to say, no, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. And sometimes we are like that. We feel that, no lah, I don't think I'm cut out for it. It's not my thing. I don't think I can handle. Go and read Moses. Go and read the book in Exodus. But you know what? I'm so thankful that despite Moses saying, who me? He said, I'm ready. After all the excuses the Lord helped him through, he was willing to go, and a nation of Israel was freed from 400 years of slavery to walk into the promised land. Then you have Jonah. Jonah was called to go to a city that was just so anti-God. And his response was, not me. Moses was, who, me? Jonah was, not me. Not me. Not to them. After a difficult lesson in the belly of a fish, Jonah said yes. And the big city of Nineveh was saved. Every single one, from the king all the way down. And then you have Isaiah. When the Lord shared to Isaiah his love for the people, he asked Isaiah, who will go for me? Isaiah was broken, and Isaiah said, send me. Send me. So in the responses, while Moses said, who me? Because he felt insecure and inadequate. And Jonah said, not me, because it was something he never imagined doing. But every one of them, they decided to give to the Lord their fears, their insecurities. They decided to give to the Lord their preconceived ideas. And all of them were used greatly to bring forth tremendous impact to the lost. And today, church, you may be going through your storms. I believe so. That's why I saw the storms. But in the midst of the storms, we need to change gears, because in the changing of gears, you are surrendering yourself to the Lord. You are surrendering and saying, God, if you say I'm going to change gears, I will change gears. If we keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you wonder why there's no breakthrough, perhaps it's time to change gears. It's time to say, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know if I'm too young. I don't know if I'm too old. I don't know if I have anything to offer in the field. But can I say this to you? All your I don't knows and all your but I can't. Can we give it to the Lord today? Can we give it to the Lord today? Because He's calling forth a generation who's going to say, He wants a generation that every one of us says, I'm ready. I want to be used this year. It's only the month of April. Still many more months. We're going to be sending many teams locally and abroad. We need you. We need you. Yes, I'm talking to you. Yes, I'm talking to everyone here. So we're just going to take time to just talk to the Lord right now. Let's just take time to spend time with the Lord. All eyes closed. Before I pray for the church at large, I want to speak to some who may be here for the first time, or maybe you've come before, but you don't really have a relationship with Jesus. And you keep wondering, why do we want to tell everybody about Jesus? What's so good about this Jesus? Jesus is not an ordinary man. He's the blameless, perfect Son of God that came down. He carried all our sin, our weaknesses, our failings, all the way to the cross. Taking all our sins, because we can't be perfect on our own. We can't be forgiven on our own. We can't make it to heaven on our own. We're on the wrong path. But when Jesus came and He took it all, and He rose again from the dead. That's right. He's not a dead guy. My Jesus is alive. He's alive, and He's the one that's the miracle working God. He's the one that gives breakthrough. He's the one that gives us hope in the midst of changing times. And all we need to do to receive this hope, this eternal life, is just to say a simple prayer and just say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need you to be my Lord. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need to come back. I need to come into your presence. And so I want to invite everyone to just close your eyes where you are. No one looking around. It's a very sacred time. It's a very special time. At some point in time, all of us have said this prayer. But if you're here, you have never made this prayer before the Lord. You've never said, Jesus, become my Savior. Forgive me. And if that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Can you just lift up your hands real high so we can see you and reckon and acknowledge you? Just lift up your hands. We're not going to be in any hurry. Following Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done in my life. There's no regrets. No regrets at all. And if you're online, if you're making this prayer, there's also a link that you can just click on. There's nothing to hesitate about, because Jesus loves you. There is nothing you need to do to have Him as your Lord. Just come as you are. I'm just going to wait a little while longer. If you just want to slip your hand up quickly, I will just pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we're going to do as a church, in case there are friends here who are a little bit shy to lift up their hands, we want to make the sinner's prayer together as a church. So if that's you and you're making this prayer for the first time, after the service, do come and connect with one of us. We'd love to walk you through personally as well. But for now, can I lead the church together? Can I invite you all to stand as we pray? We pray the sinner's prayer before I turn the service around? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Will you repeat after me, church? Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross and take all my sins. Forgive me, Jesus. Cleanse me and make me whole. I receive you as my Lord. I will have no other gods in my life. Teach me to grow into faith with you. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Even as we continue this attitude of prayer, I want to speak to some of you about shifting gears. I believe the Lord is doing a deep stirring. He's calling forth from you, from among here, those who need to start getting into the field. Doesn't mean you have to become a pastor. You just got to say, I'm ready to go forth. Whether it's locally or abroad, I'm ready to do something more. Because in the last days, there's going to be an activation of the Holy Spirit. And we want to pray. We want to lay hands and pray for every single one of you that wants to come up, be activated. But at the same time, some of you are here. You say, I want that miracle that lady had in the field. I need that healing miracle. I need that breakthrough in my life. I don't know how to be like the sons of Issachar. Some of you are also going through crossroads and you need someone to pray that God will give you that spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give you discernment and understanding. And we want to stand along with you. We are a family. We cheer each other on. We stand together with each other. And so even as the worship team is going to lead us, I want to open this altar up for those of you who you want to start coming and say, Lord, use me to be your marketplace soul winner. Use me to even go into the mission field, to be more active in the field. Use me. And for some of you, you need that breakthrough prayer for healing. You need that breakthrough prayer for a miracle, a breakthrough, because you're going through so many hardships, changing storms. You don't know how to weather it anymore. And I want to speak to some of you here. Sometimes when I was running away from my call, I told God, wait. Wait first. Until a pastor told me this. How long will you keep God waiting? Will you give God the best years of your life? Or will you give God the years when you're already in a tongkat walking? I'm not putting down the elderly, don't get me wrong. But I want to challenge. Don't say, wait until I'm married, wait until I have my children, wait until my children graduate. If God calls you, He's going to equip you. He's going to help you through. Amen. Come, worship team leaders. Those who need to come for prayer, please come. We want to lay hands. We want to pray. We want to pray breakthroughs to come. Let's surrender.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have been encouraged, make sure to follow us on Spotify. To get connected or find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Have a blessed week.